to you all. If you don't know who I am the son of the senior pastor. So my name is Pastor Justin. Pastor John, Pastor Heidi are my parents. I have been in this building for many, many a years. As soon as it started, what are we in our 18th year right now? It's a grown up fast, this church. It's senior in high school now. But welcome, everybody. I want to open up with a scripture, and then we are going to jump into prayer. So if we could pull up Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. I know that's a lot of verses. It's a lot of verses. Just bear with me, all right? We're going to get somewhere with there. And then we're going to pray. Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to present your word to your people. I pray that nothing that would come out of my mouth would be my influence, but it would be strictly from you, Lord. I pray that any word that I prepare that is not from you would be cut off right now, and only you would say what you want to. I pray that we would have ears to hear and to receive your word, and I pray that you protect our pastors as they drive to their destination, and I pray that we would be good seed, good ground to do the things that you want us to do here and now in this moment. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So, for those of you who know me, they're not here right now, as I said, they're homesick, but I have a 3.5-year-old and an almost 2-year-old. And Ellie, my older one, is at such a fun stage for just always having like a video camera going at all times, because the things she is saying now are gold. It's awesome. It is a little filterless human who has a full vocabulary now. Like, she properly used the word misunderstood in a sentence, unprompted. And I was like, who are you? And then she was in the bath the other day, and she had all these dinosaurs in the bath, and she was arranging them differently by different types of dinosaurs. And she's like, Daddy, look, I arranged the dinosaurs in families. I was like, oh, that's great. Tell me about the families. And I'm thinking, like, this is the mommy, this is the daddy. She's like, well, these are the Moniclonius's, and they're like Triceratops, so they're with them, and these are the Pachycephalosaurus's. I was like, bro, what? I was a homeschool kid in a conservative Christian home. We didn't even know if dinosaurs were real, man. And here you are telling me about Moniclonius's. And it's amazing. But she's a really good roast artist. Man, like the other day, so I walk a lot for work, and so my legs kind of get hurt sometimes. So I have the stick that like rolls out the muscles. I was rolling out the muscles on my leg the other day, and she's like, Daddy, what are you doing? I was like, oh, I'm rolling my legs because they're really sore, baby. She goes, yeah, sore and chunky. And I was like, dang. Whoa, all right. And then the other night I was cuddling because we helped to cuddle her to sleep. And I was laying her bed with her, and she's like, Daddy, my bed's not comfy. I was like, oh, baby, why? She's like, because you're getting too fat to cuddle me. I was like, so basically my kid's just fat shaming me is what I'm getting at. So this is actually a cry for help for me personally. That's all this is. I finally have the mic to say, help me, please. You think it'd be that so simple. I should just do it. But in addition to her roasting me and fat shaming me, I'm also getting the most precious things coming out of her right now. So she was given money the other day for actually doing work. She was paid to do something. Papa had asked her to do something, and she did it, and so he paid her $5. And so we thought she was at the age now where she earned money, and so we want to teach her about tithing. And we're like, okay, baby, well, you earn money, and so this is what tithing is, and this is what mommy and I do, and you don't have to do it, but we just want to let you know, growing up in our household, this is something we do. We tithe, and we want to tell you what it is and see if you want to do it, give you the opportunity if you wanted to, but we're not going to force you. We're not going to pressure you. We just let you know that this is what we do. And she thought about it, and we let her think about it. Like I said, we didn't want to influence the decision, but she had come to the decision, yes, I want to tithe. We're like, okay, tithe is 50 cents. And this is a Saturday. The next day, as we're getting ready to come to church, I pulled out the 50 cents from her little wallet for the money that she earned. And she goes, oh, no, Daddy, I need a dollar. I said, oh, well, tithe is only 50 cents, baby. You don't have to do that. She's like, no, I want to. I said, okay, awesome, baby. That's great. So I pulled out the dollar and I said, okay, give me the 50 cents. She said, no, I need another dollar. I want to do $1.50. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, baby, that's precious. That's amazing. Why do you want to do that? She's like, well, I know that the more I give, it would make God happy that I want to give to him. And I was like, oh, I was just like, oh my gosh, baby. I made sure she knew, like, this is not a pressure. God loves you. No matter what, you don't have to give more. She's like, no, I want to do something. I want God to know that I love him. I'm like, come on, dude. This is the best part, though. We come to church and we tell her, okay, this is where the tithe box is. She goes, oh, actually, I'd like to give the money to Aunt Jody. And we're like, okay, well, why, baby? Why? She's like, well, I know that he lives in her heart. Come on. Come on. What do you think I was doing? I'm my father's son. Come on, man. What am I supposed to do with that? But this is the point I want to jump off of right now, okay? And I want to make sure you know, like, if this is your first time coming on, oh, man, I finally tried church, and what's he doing talking about money? Gotta get out of here. No, relax. Take it easy, okay? I'm not going to be talking about tithing, though I think it's an important part of our faith. I'm not talking about money right now. I want to talk specifically because I'm preaching about love, all right? And that's the topic of the day. I'm the L in our H Love series, love. If you're taking notes, the sermon title is Generous Love. Generous Love. And this is the point that I want to make, that just as we had the opening scripture, and we don't have to go back up to it right now, I feel like God put on my heart that he's been convicting me with is, what do we see in one another? As my daughter saw, she's like, I want to give my money to Aunt Jody because I know that he lives in her heart. And like I said, I don't really want to talk about money this morning. I want to talk about generosity. And I want, instead of thinking of even money, I want you to think about as a launching point for us. Think about your love as currency, and think about your currency as love. So keep that in your head as we jump into this. Think about your love as your currency and your currency as love. All right? Let's go to John chapter 13, verses 34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. And then 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and truth. Our love, and I need to preface this by saying, this is something that the Lord recently has been deeply convicting me of as well. And so most of the time when I preach, I come from a place of God challenging me and feeling like that's what's supposed to come forth to everyone else. So if this topic might sting a little bit, it stung me first. But I feel like the Lord's been challenging me that my love has been too much about words and emotions and needs to be more of actions. And he specifically told me you need to be more generous. And that, again, is not just with your currency, but is with our time, is with our resources. It's with the abilities that God's given us. It's with our talents that it needs to be more action-based. That tithing in the church is important, but that much more so, our brothers and sisters who we know that God is within each of us, if we see one another having a difficult time or a delay or in need, this scripture clearly states for us that the commandment in John 13:34, that Jesus said, here's the new commandment, just love one another. And John furthers that point by saying, if we see one another in need, it is our job to see that accomplished. And in Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, if we want to pull that back up. So when we see here the examples that Jesus gives in this parable, when he says there is a separation between two classes of people, what's excluded? Theology, praying, opportunity to speak behind the mic. None of that is up there. All of it is through resources given to those in need. You following me? When did we see you thirsty? When did we see you hungry? When did we visit you in prison? When did we clothe you when you were naked? All of this is based on, do you have excess of something that someone else is lacking? Then it's in our heart, and God's given to us, we should be sharing this resource. So to me, right here, it seems to be pretty obvious what's being asked of us to do. And this chapter, I believe that Scripture interprets Scripture. So if you see Jesus in one chapter, there's multiple different parables. Those parables should be compared to one another. They're not just clumped randomly. They're there intentionally with one another. So we won't read the whole chapter. I won't make us read the entire chapter. Several verses is enough. But the first, if you want to go back and read Matthew chapter 25, the first parable is about the 10 virgins who had their lamps. If you've read that, anybody knows that parable? They had extra resources. Their lamps never went out. And then the second parable there was the master who gave the talents to his servants, and they went and they multiplied that. And what Jesus is saying at the conclusion of this chapter is, how do we keep our light going? How do we make sure that we are ready at all times? How do we have our light? It's about how we love and outpour to one another. And what's the talents that we're supposed to multiply? It's how we are engaging with people to increase the kingdom. Not about building up our own stature, but by loving others. Now, to me, as I was reading this, I recognize how blatantly obvious giving to one another is connected to loving one another, which is essential to our faith. So why can it be so difficult for us to give sometimes in that way, financially or through our resources to others? And I know it's challenging, and I know that there's so few of us here now, but we're super quiet because, like, talking about our money is, like, super not easy to do. And I understand that. Mark chapter 10, verse 17 through 22, we have an extremely familiar story to do with this. And as he was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." And Jesus looked at him, loved him, and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. I mean, how many times have we heard this story from the Bible, right? Why can it be so hard? I mean, to be asked to do what that guy did is difficult, bar none. But why can it be so hard sometimes to give out of our excess? I know that sometimes it can be for me, just being honest. And the Lord really broke something down for me. Is the more that we have, the more that we hold on to, the more we start trusting in that thing And we start relying on that thing. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where the thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And this is what I felt like the Lord was telling me, that where we invest ourselves in, there is going to be deeper roots of where our heart is. And so the more that we rely on, like that rich young ruler, the more he's like, I trust it in my ability to fulfill the law and then also the resources that I've acquired. And what was important to me was to get to eternal life for myself and also for my resources. He understood that he had an ultimatum there, that it was eternal life or his resources. Knowing that, therefore, he's going to die not being able to take the resources, but he trusted in that thing because that's where his heart was. And the further entrenched we get into relying on ourselves and our resources, because that's where we put our investment in, there's where he wants to stay. He just wants to stay rooted in those resources. And God's not asking everyone to sell all that they have and give to the poor, but he recognized in this guy that his heart and his love was poured into this thing to rely on himself, and he needed to be broken of that because he was interested in the law to self-gratify instead of to love people. And in this, and if you could keep this up for me, go ahead and keep up Matthew chapter 6. Where our heart, where our treasure is, there's where our heart's going to be also. And if we invest in resources of today and this world, moth and rust can destroy. Cheyenne and I just last week in our laundry room, we have this big emergency break glass in case of world ending. We had a bunch of bags of like dried beans and rice and canned goods. It was just there in case, you know, the world is ending. We needed those resources, but we saved those up. We had a good collection. We had a good thing going. If like, okay, well, this is probably, you know, a solid month or two of just food. Not awesome food, but food that's going to get us by in case things really go bad. Well, I opened the laundry room door the other day, covered in bugs. Weevils had gotten into our bags of rice and our beans and everything. We had to throw all of it out, and we had to scrub clean the laundry room. And it was a bummer. But God really spoke to me for this message specifically is when you were relying on in an emergency, instead of me providing for you, instead of sharing these resources, you said, I need to hoard this in case something terrible happens. Instead of trusting in me, you trusted in yourself and the resources that you've acquired, and here they are, wasted to nothing. And that's where I put my investment. I said, I need to trust in myself in case things go terrible. And in myself, let myself down, because tangible, real world things can be corrupted. But what can't be corrupted is the kingdom of God, which happens to be inside of every person who has received Jesus in this room. And that's where our resources need to go. And that's where our heart would be. And that's where our love is. Jordan and Christian will tell you, if you ask for them for financial advice, that investing in one thing, putting all your eggs in one basket, is not a good idea, right? Yeah, you need to diversify your investments. You have to have it in multiple different places. Right now, for my retirement and future finances, I've got some stuff in like mutual funds and crypto, which, you know, kind of sucks right now, and just different individual stocks, but it's diversified. So if the market goes terribly wrong, it's not all in one place. I'm not trusting in that one thing. We're supposed to diversify for our retirement, and that's what's smart financially. But how much more, instead of investing in one place financially and storing up for ourselves, because it's hard whenever in an excess, you have it's harder to make decisions when you have so much, because there's so much more that you can lose. I noticed with my son, Ephraim, the other day, he loves these two stuffed animals that he likes to cuddle up with and sleep with at night. But he started discarded, as he's gotten older, acquiring more stuffed animals. So he just started putting all of them in his crib with him at night. Well, he started having a hard time making a decision on which one he would sleep with. And we spent like 10 minutes of him just crying, be like, no, I don't want this one. Do I want that one? No, I don't want that one. I want this one. And it would take forever for him to fall asleep. And so I thought, you know what? I'm going to experiment. I'm going to take all of them out and hide them except for one. Except for one. So he doesn't have the choice anymore. And he started falling asleep immediately because he just had that one. Because he had this excess of these things, it was hard for him to make a decision because he didn't know if he was going to make the right one or not. And so once I took that decision away and he just had the one, he started being just fine. And that we do the same thing, I feel like, with our resources at times. The more that we acquire, the more that we're like, I don't know if I can give this up or what's going to happen if I do that. And I'm not just going to make any decision. And it can bottle us up and it can hide us away because we're trusting in those things. But if we start to give ourselves into multiple different areas, into multiple different people, and spread our love around instead of hiding it and guarding it, and it can do good things for the kingdom instead of putting us in a shell. Who's seen the movie It's a Wonderful Life? Classic, great movie, It's a Wonderful Life. I saw very few hands. We have, okay, you just didn't want to be honest the first time? All right, cool, cool. Okay, so It's a Wonderful Life, fantastic movie, Christmas movie, basically made to watch it once a year Christmas time by my dad. Awesome movie. But if you haven't seen it, he's George Bailey is the main character, and he is over a bank loan, yeah. And it is during the Great Depression that the movie was set in, and everybody was flooding into his bank in order to pull all of their money out, and that would essentially close the bank. But he had a famous line in there. He's like, the money's not here. It's in Martha's house, and it's in Bill's house. But that's how a bank works. It's not all in the vault at the same time. It's doing things. It's loaned out to others. It's in multiple different houses. It's not all just kept into one place. It's out doing things to help the bank grow, to help individuals grow, to help businesses become achieved. And that's the same thing that the talents that God's given us, the resources he's given us, is not made to stay in one place that can eventually get destroyed. But the resources he's given us, not just financially, but our love itself, is not made to just stay in our hearts. The love that he's given us is made to go out into every household of the people that we are around. Every person that we touch is supposed to see Jesus in us instead of bottling it up and keeping it to ourselves. We have the good news within us. We have the light within us. As Jesus said, who has a light and then covers it up? A city on a hill is meant to be seen. And if we enclose our resources and put a fortress around us and saying, this salvation is exclusive to me and I don't want to give it out. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to help that person. There's a reason they're in that position and maybe they deserve it. That is not the mentality of a person who follows Jesus. We are supposed to be in our neighbor's house, whether we're physically there or not. It is our job to be in those places. The oldest woman alive right now, she's got the current record. She's the current oldest one. Her name is Sister Andre. She is a French nun. She is 118 years old. 118 years old. There's a recent story done on her. She attributes her longevity to two different things. The first of which is wine. She had a glass of wine every day. She said that helped keep her going. And the second thing is having purpose and loving the people in her community. She worked actively as a nun, and her job as a nun, because they, you know, they have different jobs and whatnot, her job was directly helping with education and the local hospital, being with children in the hospital. She did that until she was 108, and she was forced to retire. And she said, I had to work to keep living because my purpose on life is to love those around me. And that's what she said. That and some Chardonnay at the end of the day kept her alive and what's got her going right now. In fact, does anyone know what a blue zone is? Have you heard of a blue zone? A blue zone is little pockets of people who live past 100. Yeah, centurions, thank you. And so they're little pockets of where people live extremely long lives. And people study these zones and figure out why people in this area are living longer. Is it their diet? Well, different blue zones, they have totally different diets. So they said it's not diet related. And so they thought, okay, maybe it's just the weather of where they live, or maybe it's a stress-free life. Maybe they're more financially free. Every single blue zone has only one thing in common. That community has a sense of involvement and love towards one another. every single blue zone. That's the only thing that they have in common. Our job is not to withhold. And in America and in capitalism sometimes, that can be what we think of as the goal, to acquire more and more and more. And then we think, once I get enough, there's a certain enough level we all have. There's a threshold we all have. Like, once I get here, then I will start being generous. Then I will start giving to people. And then I'll start recording a video where I pay for a lady's car completely free. And then I'll put it on the internet and I'll get a ton of views, because then it's still just about me. We all have a threshold. But once we get to a certain threshold, once you get to that, instead of being like, okay, I'm going to be generous with this, like, I can probably get a little bit more, actually. And a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more. And then we find ourselves in a position like, well, I think I just want to keep all of it. And the people underneath me, they should all just get a job, really. And there's some truth to that. But at the same time, did you realize that in our area, in our backyard here in Phoenix, due to the pandemic, they're attributing a lot to that because of rising prices and difficulty, that homelessness in the Phoenix area has gone up 35% in 2 years? Now, it's easy. It's super easy to be like, those people need to get off drugs, or those people just need to get a job. And it's easier to tell ourselves that in the back of the head. But you can't say 35% of our community rose in homelessness just because they all instantly got addicted to heroin. And even if they did, does Jesus not love the heroin addict? Now, I know just giving $5 to someone and they might go use it to do drugs, but intentionally, because that $5 could just be your own conscience being like, eh, now I did my good thing for the day. Now I'll live to 118. The Lord's really convicted me to be like, oh, why is that person there? And let me pray for them right now. And I'm telling you, this is coming from a place that I've also done that. I've said the things that I just said out loud here to myself, because it eases our conscience. But if we are a person who says, I live for Jesus, we don't have the luxury of being a goat who said, they're naked, there's a reason why. Instead of, I have an extra shirt, here you go. We don't have that luxury. Many people do. Not if you come here every Sunday and say you believe in Jesus. We don't get that. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. I don't have this. I added this at the end, so don't worry. I wrote it down here to read. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love and seek the best for one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Not him who has gone to Bible school. Not him who is preaching. Not him who said a really nice prayer on the New Season prayer page. Him who owed nothing but to love, fulfilled the law. Did you know it was an Old Testament law, a Jewish law, that every 7 years there was a cancellation of certain kind of debts, but every 50 years was the year of Jubilee, where every piece of land that was taken due to debt collection was returned to the family, every Jewish slave was set free, every debt was forgiven, and it was a year of feasts and celebrations. Every 50 years, everything reset. Whereas we find ourselves now, we're all getting deeper into debt. We all have to make sure we protect our resources. We have to protect our income. We have to protect what's ours and get more. And it's important to acquire things to protect your family's future. I'm not saying let's all just sell everything and live in a commune and wear white togas. But I do think it's important that we owe no one and acquire nothing from anyone except to love one another. I know it's only 11 o'clock, but I'm going to be closing up with this, because I'm the pastor you want to hear if you want to watch a game at 1 o'clock. A few Diamondbacks jerseys I've worn directly right now today, and I know why. Imagine not only that we give to one another, but imagine if at that end moment in Matthew chapter 25, we're before the judgment seat, and we have the opportunity, by the grace of God, to be a sheep and not a goat. And think about this scripture maybe a little bit differently. This might not be exactly how it's written, but just imagine it this way. Imagine that you're in front of God, and instead of him saying, hey, I'm judging you now because you did these things for me. But imagine every person that you did those things for was standing there before the throne as well. Said, I was naked and he clothed me. I was thirsty and he gave me a drink. I was hungry and he fed me. He should be able to go in. We need to start investing into one another instead of just investing in ourselves. And you shouldn't just be selfishly to get to eternal life, but knowing that the kingdom advances when the resources we acquire are not to build our bank account, but to love one another generously. So let's just close our eyes. No need to stand. No music right now. Jesus, I pray that as we prepare to go out, Lord, whether we're going to watch a Diamondbacks game or to lunch or whatever we're going to do afterwards, Lord, I pray that it would be in our hearts to love one another and to love the world generously, not just with our money, but with our time, with our resources, with our talents, our abilities to pray for one another. I pray that we would love generously and we would love deeply to invest in the kingdom and not just ourselves. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. Everybody have a good day.